Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. Woo!
The first, listen, this is the first episode of the year, 2025.
Right. This is also episode one of season nine of our broadcast. Can you believe it?
We have
done, at this point, the time you're listening to this, we've done over 350 episodes. That is a lot
I said,
of conversation.
I think it's more than that. And she said, no.
It's been a lot. It's been a lot. It's been a long time coming.
I'm cold, man.
I see. You got your winter hat all over your head.
Yeah.
Like, look, I ain't playing with y'all.
Right.
I'm about to be warm. I don't care if this camera's on. I don't care if the internet lives forever.
Because I was like, I could put on my jacket, but then I really look funny. I look like what I would look like is that we don't have no heat if I did that. They're like, why they coats on?
Man, it's cold outside. Shoot. I'm here to tell you, this crazy stuff going on. You got storms knocking people's power out. You got fog running around here like it's a horror movie. All kind of stuff going on. You know they got stuff fog, right?
They used to have a movie called The Mist.
There's a movie called The Mist.
And it looks like it actually is fog. And these monsters come up, you know, come out of it and everything else.
It's a lot going on. Got orbs and drones up in the air. People thinking that they're seeing aliens. It's some crazy stuff going on.
Well, it's not actually aliens. I believe they're fallen angels and entities that are demonic and things of that nature.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't believe in aliens, and no more than I do illegal aliens, because they call them illegal aliens. They are not aliens, no.
Well, alien just means foreign. If we're talking about the realm that we're in right now, anything that's not of this realm would be considered alien. But the great deception that's coming, according to the New Age and the Theosophical Society and the Kabbalah and the elites of many different forms, the Luciferians and the Satanists of all kind of stripes, they know who they're serving, and they know that these are not indeed aliens, but what they are, as you said, fallen angels.
Fallen entities,
and
yeah.
They are posing as messengers of good in order to get people to buy into the deception.
Well, when I saw that the Pope, I think that's who it was, y'all.
That he opened those portals?
Not only just opened the portals, but when I saw him standing and introducing what looked like some sort of alien, he was shaking. I was like, what kind of crap?
Yeah, it's some
what
stuff going
kind of
on
mess?
Out there. That's for sure.
What kind of false prophet looking? Prophet looking big. What my son say? Prophet looking bald head. Teeth tongue
false
sucking.
Prophet looking.
Teeth sucking.
Well, listen, I want to know, what topics do you want us to cover in season nine? So there's a few ways you can let me know what topics you want to talk about. Okay. Because we're gonna take your topics. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how controversial. It doesn't matter if you think it's something that's never been asked before, something you don't think you can ask your pastor. I certainly, Lady J, will give it a shot.
Yes,
there's
indeed.
A few ways you can let us know what topics do you want us to talk about. The first is just send us a text to the radio station number. That's easy. We'll get that right away. It's 402-819-8941. Let me say that again. 402-819-8941.
And don't be afraid to call us live, because even though we're on here live, we still would like to hear from you.
If the phone ring, I'll pick it up.
Right.
I'll pick it up. Yeah. I'll be nice, too.
Like, I be wanting to talk to you live, and I don't know how to do it.
So
that's the number.
So I want to know, what do y'all want to talk about? Because there's so many things we could cover, and that's one way you can do it. It's 402-819-8941. You can text your question, you can call, and we'll get that going. Another way is, of course, you can send an email to the radio station. Just send it to gospelmusicomaha@gmail.com. gospelmusicomaha@gmail.com. And if you can't remember the email address, just go to the website, gospelmusicomaha.com, and go to the contact page, and then just type it in and tell us what you would like to talk about this year.
Now, I'm going to have a little bit of shameless promotion. I can tell you our gospel radio station is even better than Sirius XM,
it
than
really
all
is.
Of those, okay? We don't play the same stuff over and over again. Basically, the way we have it is every four songs, you're going to hear what you like. Because don't forget, we also have country gospel. We also have the...
What country gospel are you talking about?
Gospel... You don't know about the Gospel Travelers and all the old stuff?
You talking about like bluegrass? Southern gospel?
There's a man talk about G's in my soul.
You talking about the classics.
They're classics. Yeah, but those gentlemen are literally from... They're cowboys. They're from the South. They're black cowboys from the South and things of that nature. So we are so excited because, number one, we are the only, Jackie, the only black gospel-owned radio station in the state of Nebraska ever in history.
You know, I had somebody come up to me the other day, and they were asking me, well, you guys conservatives, or are you progressives? Are you Republicans? Are you Democrats?
Get out of here with all that.
And
get
I said, you know, we're none of that. We're of the kingdom of Christ. We're independent. We're independently owned. We're independently supported.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we don't have any allegiances to a particular party or candidate. Or political affiliation. We don't do all that because we're not here to promote politics. We're here to promote the
Jesus.
King.
King Jesus.
And
hallelujah.
And Christ should be above culture, and he should be above politics, and he should be above ethnicity. He should be above nationality. He should be above progressive or liberal or conservative or left wing, right wing, mm-hmm. all that. He is above and beyond all of that. And what we don't want is for people to say, well, I ain't listening to that radio station because they don't support my favorite candidate, or they don't agree with me on this issue or that issue.
Keep the politics out of here.
If you can show with biblical support what your position is, I'm open to it, because at the end of the day, all of us are part of one body of Christ. And it says that all of you, when you get together, somebody should have a hymn. Someone should have a scripture. Someone should have a word. Everybody has the same Holy Spirit. And so the same Holy Spirit is going to keep us all in alignment. Even though we may have diversity of expression, we're going to have unity in our ultimate direction and our allegiance, and that is Christ. Christ alone, scripture alone, grace alone, that's it. And so we try to make sure that people don't feel excluded because they don't think this way or that way about a certain political issue. But having said all of that, of course, if you are a Christ follower, you are going to be conservative. Meaning, and I don't mean politically conservative, so don't miss what I'm saying. Don't get caught on the trigger words. What I mean by conservative is the root word of conservative is to conserve. And so the question is what are we conserving? We're not conserving mm-hmm. America. We're not conserving blackness. Mm-hmm. We're not conserving those things. What we are conserving for is the basic doctrines of the faith. We are contending for the faith. We are conserving the pure, unadulterated gospel.
Yes.
And we're not trying to add things to it or change it or say, oh, there's a new way. Because that's the main way that false doctrine creeps into the churches, mm-hmm. is by somebody saying, I got a new way. The Muslims said that, and they immediately rejected Christ. And then the Mormons came along, and they said that, oh, we got Joseph Smith. We got a new gospel. And then they corrupted the faith. And then you had Charles Taze Russell that came in and said, I got a new way. And then he took the Jehovah's Witnesses and corrupted the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful to conserve the original doctrine. Paul spoke about this so many times. As a matter of fact, I'll pull up a couple of scripture verses that talk about conserving or preserving or defending the faith. So when I say that we are conservative, it has nothing to do with politics. We're social, you know, we're probably socially conservative because we don't believe in just because somebody is progressive. Well, what are you progressing to? The root word of progressive is progress, right? But all progress is not good progress, especially if that progress takes us farther away from the scriptures. It takes us way farther away from Jesus. So you have to thread the needle, right? There's a difference between your social or your spiritual values and what politics is trying to put us into a box about. And this has nothing to do with politics at all. This has to do with defending and contending for the faith and conserving the pure gospel and not letting false doctrine it says, the scripture says that we're carried away by every wind of doctrine, mm-hmm. because we're piling up upon ourselves teachers that will satisfy itching ears. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll start with that one. I'll start with that verse right there about not being carried away by all these different various
winds of doctrines.
Correct. and allowing people to come in and say, oh, we got something new. We got a new way of thinking about this, or this way or that way. So this is 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll go ahead and jump in and talk a little bit about that. And then we'll move on and talk about some other things perhaps. Mm-hmm. But it says here, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, which means alive, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word.
Right.
Be instant, which means to be ready, in season and out of season. You know how we have a saying in our community? We say, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Right.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this means when it says be instant, in season and out of season. It means always be ready to preach the word.
Be a defender of the faith, yes.
And then it says to reprove, rebuke, and exhort all of with all long-suffering and doctrine. Long-suffering means patience. So when you're reproving, rebuking, and exhorting, all of those words all have a similar, each one means something different, but they're all in the same category of, you got to point out when someone is missing the mark.
And they sure are responding today. Thank you so much.
What's going on, everybody?
We like when you call in and respond, and we've got somebody right now that's responding to us. Hi.
So,
hi.
Have you ever seen somebody, maybe your friend?
He basically said, hello, fam. And then he asked.
Maybe it's your friend, or maybe it's you. And you see your friend and they do something, and you know it wasn't right. You know it wasn't right, right? And you tell your friend, you say, you know, friend, you know I love you, but you know you was out of pocket on that one.
Yeah.
That's what reproving and rebuking and exhorting is all about. It's that whole idea of saying, you know, I love you, but you out of bounds right there. That's not correct. You know, you're missing the mark on that one. There's a way to be able to say, look, we have to preach the word, first of all. We're not here to preach get rich quick. We're not here to preach the gospel of prosperity, because the Bible says that they're going to be throwing their gold and silver in the streets. It's not about chasing the money. We're not here to preach, you know, be your best self now, like so many of our secular motivational speakers. We're not here just to motivate you and that's it, just motivate you. We're here to say we need to be a member of the new kingdom, and that new kingdom has new rules. We don't operate by the rules of this world, where they're all about themselves and they're all about what's going on. I see the people on the live. I see you.
He's saying your name.
Yeah.
If you don't want us to say your name, let us know.
He said, I've been off for a while, I'm back. Yeah, glad you're back.
But say who it is. Is it okay if she says who it is?
I'm sorry, my eyes are goofy today. Oh, what's up, Dion? I know who you are. Love you, cousin. All right, so first of all, it says, first of all, let me roll it back.
I charge you before God and before Jesus Christ, because he is going to judge both the alive and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. That's two different things, his appearing and his kingdom. He's saying, because we know God is going to judge, we need to preach the word.
Right.
And not a bunch of stuff that don't matter.
No, just a bunch of babblings and a bunch of words just and a bunch of hooping, hollering, and choking. You know how they do it. I mean, it sounds like there you're having a convulsion, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I have love for our emotional expressiveness as a culture.
Love you too.
Okay. And there is a very long standing history of where that whole tradition
comes from.
Call and response and the squalling and all that.
Correct.
It has grown up richly from a past that has a very colorful past, and it is a reflection of our emotional expression as a culture. So I'm not knocking that the same way you're knocking that. I'm not knocking it. You was just doing that in the mic.
You said knock it, don't try. Look, I knocked it and I tried it, okay?
What I am saying, though, is that in the middle of all of
substance.
The middle of the emotional connection that we're wanting to get when we go to church every Sunday, or when we're listening to our favorite preachers, in addition to the emotional response, we need to make sure that the word is there, and that the truth is there, and that the spirit is there. And it's not just trying to make something happen, but it's truly organically coming from the Holy Spirit. And it's truly coming from an acknowledgement of the word, and that we got to get deeper with our word. Friends, we got to get deeper with our word, because the deception that's coming is going to sound so good.
And it's not coming. It's already here.
You're gonna miss it. Now, let's continue here. So, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all patience and long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not put up with sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine.
Right.
They don't mind listening to many doctrines, but they're not going to want the true doctrine. It says, but instead, after their own lusts, their own desires, their own things in their own hearts, they will heap to themselves teachers. Mm-hmm. They'll go and find itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, or fairy tales, if you will.
Right.
But you need to watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of your ministry. So let's roll that back here a little bit. There is so much that's packed in there. It says the time is going to come when they're not going to put up with sound doctrine. For example, you got folks out there that are preaching a prosperity gospel where it's all about, well, if you really have faith, you know, it's going to show up in your bank account because God has blessed you, and that's the evidence of your faith.
No.
Well, that's not sound doctrine, because Jesus said, don't store up treasures on earth where it'll rot and it'll get stolen.
Yep,
but store up your treasures in heaven, because where your heart is, your treasure will be also.
Right.
So that's not sound doctrine to say that it's all about just acquiring more things in this life. That's just one simple example. Now, I know your pastor don't talk like that, right? I'm sure your pastor doesn't talk like that. A lot of pastors have that sort of conversation when it's offering time, and I find that quite manipulative, but I'm going to leave that one alone. But it says, but after their own desires or lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers. So, in other words, if you want to live your life as an open, unrepentant, practicing, engaging fornicator, you will find somebody on the internet that will co-sign whatever it is that you're doing. Right? Like they say, there's an app for that, or there's a group for everything. Whatever it is that you have within your heart, you will find some teachers that will back that up. I was listening to a gentleman that was talking about intersectionality and a new homosexual doctrine and new interpretation of the scriptures that was trying to dismiss that was trying to dismiss the classical, for the last 2,000 years, last actually 6,000 years of human history, interpretations of the scriptures as well as human biology. He was trying to rewrite all of that. And he was sounding really convincing. But the scripture at the end of the day says that you're not supposed to fornicate. And you're not supposed to commit adultery.
That's right.
And so he was promoting fornication, adultery, and he was promoting other things that were beyond the template that God has set forth in Genesis and that our own biology tells us is the truth. Because there are plenty of people out there that want to engage in that lifestyle.
And just to clarify,
and I'm not talking about
fornication is and adultery is, just to clarify.
Well, fornication is sleeping with someone you're not married to. And adultery is sleeping with someone who is not your own spouse, but they're someone else's spouse. So
simple.
And then I can already hear the comments. Well, what about now that they've legalized gay marriage? Well, that's the secular world that did that. Where did the Bible change it up? Where did the Bible change it up? Of course, you can have a civil union between two people that agree in the secular world. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
But does that change what the scripture has to say about it? No, it does not. So not belaboring that point or being on it too long. And if you happen to be dealing with that issue, I want you to know that having attractions in and of themselves is not sinful. They may be a symptom or an indicator of deeper issues that you should seek the Lord about. But just because you have an attraction or an interest does not mean that you have sinned or done something wrong. It's ultimately whether or not you choose to, how you choose to respond to temptation that makes the difference between a believer who is victorious and one who has given up the fight. And as long as you are still pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will continue to help you to navigate whatever situation. And this is just not even about that. What this is about is all temptation. Because all temptation, that is what it's talking about here in this passage in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. It says they won't endure sound doctrine, but because of their own desires, their own lusts, their own secret deep things inside of themselves, they will find teachers who will co-sign whatever it is that is inside of them. Okay, so there are some people that are very money hungry. They will gravitate toward preachers. That's all about getting the money. I see a lot of content on social media right now where, oh, are you a Christian entrepreneur and you want to make six figures? You want to make seven figures? Okay, why did it need to be a Christian entrepreneur? We know the Bible says that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and you can see plenty of examples.
And somebody freezer.
You can see the word never changed the word. You got that right. You can see plenty of examples of people who were very wealthy in the scripture. And you can see just as many examples of people who were common folk, minimum wage folk. Like, for example, Job was a wealthy man. Solomon was a wealthy man. King David was a wealthy man. All of the kings were wealthy because that was just the nature of the job. But you could also see people of all walks of life, folks that was minimum wage workers, the 12 disciples, most of them, other than Matthew, the tax collector, and Judas, the money changer, most of them were regular people with regular jobs. They were either fishermen or they were carpenters or construction workers. And they didn't have a whole bunch of stuff, but they had love for Christ and they had allegiance to him. And that is the beauty of the scriptures, and it's the beauty of Christ, is that the message is the same no matter whether you're poor, middle class, rich, ultra rich. What's up?
I did want to add to that, you know, carpenters make a lot of money. They build houses, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
See, if you need a house built, how much is it going to cost?
You need a plumber, you need an electrician, you need a drywaller.
Come on here. Say that.
Need a little bit of all that. But the point that I'm making here is that if getting the money is your thing, you'll find teachers to co-sign that. If really and truly deep down you believe that you don't really believe in God, that you need to be accountable to him and that you know, you are the ultimate authority in your own life and you do not need to submit to God, you will find some New Age teachers that will tell you, or some Hindu teachers or some Buddhist mm-hmm. teachers or whoever, and they will tell you, oh, yes, you know, you are God. God is you. We're all God.
Nope.
And it will sound very seductive because that's something that's already on the inside of you, when the reality is that we are not God. God is in all of us from the standpoint of he created all of this, so obviously his fingerprint is on it all.
Well, some people, their father is the devil.
It says we are created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. An image of something is not the thing. If I'm watching my favorite celebrity, I don't know who's a good celebrity. Let's see.
You can look in the mirror and
I'm looking at my favorite celebrity on television, that's an image of the celebrity, mm-hmm. but that's not the actual person. That's just the image of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it looks and behaves and responds the way that that person responds, it's not the same as meeting that person in the flesh, mm-hmm. in person. It's just an image.
Mm-hmm.
Or as you say, looking in the mirror, my image of myself is not me. It reflects me. If I move my right hand, my reflection will move its right hand. But the image of me is not me. It's the image of me. In the same way, we are made in the image of God, but we ourselves are not God.
That's right.
We reflect an excellent God. We have his character and his attributes because he created us, but we in and of ourselves are not God. I did not will my own existence, and I am not willing my next breath. I'm not God. I did not create the atoms that hold myself together just by thinking about it. I'm not God. God is God. We are not God. And if we're wanting to have this idea that we are God, there's plenty of teachers out there, even in our Christian churches, that push that idea, that name it and claim it, where they take that one scripture verse about speak to the mountain and it shall fall into the sea if you have faith. And then they use that as a basis for some bad doctrine that all you got to do is say it. And it'll come to pass.
They call it name it and claim it.
Yeah. Well, that's nothing more than the satanic law of attraction that says all you got to do is think it and will it, and it will happen.
That's what the secret.
That's New Age.
There was back in the day.
Absolutely.
It used to be called the secret.
And so.
Sounds positive, huh?
It sounds real good.
No.
But in the end, all it does is drive us away from our need for Christ. And that is where we ultimately have to be careful that we don't get led away by false doctrines and led astray. Now, I could go into a deeper dive of all kind of things, and I'm wondering if you all would be interested in a deeper dive of all kind of stuff. You know, I got a big old list of topics that I was thinking about developing, and maybe that might be something that we do. I just know that when we're doing this show, which turns into our morning show, sometimes I have to keep it a little bit more general, because the deep dive, some topics people might not be interested in, this topic or that topic, but I mean, I'm willing to talk about everything, the biblical earth, whether or not it's a globe or whether or not it's stationary,
whether it's flat.
I'll talk about any religion you want, New Age, Hebrew Israelism, Jehovah Witness, Islam, Buddhism. I'll show and compare and contrast all of those. Paganism,
right now,
witchcraft.
That'd be great, because right now those things are trying their best to take over.
I could talk about the occult, the Kabbalah, the Illuminati. We could get deep into the fallen angels, a.k.a. Aliens, the whole alien agenda. We could talk about the dangers and the false doctrines that are coming out of veganism, yoga, crystals, meditation.
Mm-mm.
What do y'all want to talk about?
I'll
go for all of it.
Some
I can do
stuff
all of
will
it.
Will get you if you're not careful. That yoga will get you.
So, this is just a call for that. Once again, there's a couple ways you can let us know what topics you're interested in. One, send a text to the radio station, 402-819-8941. Number two, send an email to us with your topic, gospelmusicomaha@gmail.com. Number three is you can hit us up on any of our social media networks. So the radio mm-hmm. station is @gospelmusicomaha. The show, the show you're listening to right now, Mind His Business, is at Mind His Business on all the platforms. So send us a message that way. Tell us what you want to talk about. Tell us you think that I'm way off base. That's fine. Let's talk about it. That's the whole thing, is have some constructive dialogue. As long as we're civil and we're leading it back to the scriptures and we're leading it back to Christ, I'm here for all of it. And I ain't new to this. I've done plenty of ministry for plenty of years. And I'm not one of those pastors where you think you got a little gotcha. I see people on the TikTok all the time talking about, I got your pastor because he don't know how to answer this simple question. You know, why, you know, something like, what was a good one? Well, why does it say that Jesus was resurrected in 3 days, and they saying he died on a Wednesday and rose on a Sunday? That ain't 3 days. And they go through all of this. And of course, the answer to that is very easy. But the other thing is the Sabbath. Other topics that we could talk about: tithing. Is it even scriptural? What does tithing mean? You know, for example, going back to the Sabbath. Well, if you're keeping the Sabbath, then why are you doing it every Saturday when the Sabbath don't fall on the Saturday, on a Saturday every month, depending on what day is the new moon? Or going a step further, if you keeping, because the scripture says
talk
that,
and we could talk about that, because I used to be Seventh-day Adventist.
The scripture says that Jesus Christ himself is the Sabbath rest of God.
Correct.
That's why when he died on the cross, he said it is finished. He put an end to animal sacrice and the whole Sabbath keeping as part of the Old Testament law.
However, it is important to rest.
It is important to rest.
Because some people, they be going, and I'm going to say it, 7 days a week. Yes, but they do. And they don't stop. They don't pray. They just go. Money. They chasing money.
But my challenge to you is, well, if you're keeping the Sabbath on Saturday every month, you know you're not always hitting it on the right day.
That's
because
right.
The Sabbath changes bases on the new moon.
It
That's
sure
number
does.
One. Number two, if you're keeping the Sabbath as a law, ritual, tradition, are you keeping the Sabbath year? Because did you know there's a Sabbath year as well? And I pull scripture and verse up for that. At the Sabbath year is where not only do you not work on one day, but you don't work for the whole entire year. Not
That's
you,
true.
Not your animals, not your pets, not your servants, not nobody. Do you keep the Sabbath year?
None of them, no.
Along with the Sabbath day? Furthermore, the whole calendar that we're following is not even the biblical calendar, if you
Correct.
Really want to get down to it.
Correct.
There's a couple of different calendars that that are the best candidates of what the Hebrew calendar was. And I'm not talking about the Babylonian calendar.
Nope.
And I'm not talking about the Gregorian calendar
Nope.
that was set up by the Catholics either.
Nope.
Have you ever thought to yourself, well, why is the month September the ninth month when Sept means seven?
Right.
And why is October the 10th month when Oct means eight, like right. octagon?
Right.
And why is November the 11th month when Novo or Nova means nine?
Nova.
And then July and August, they stuck those in because of Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar. They wanted a month.
Yeah.
And then some of them, they added years and took years away. So you don't really know what day all that is. I've even seen it suggested that our real calendar is probably a 13-month calendar. Because did you know that if you took 13
Some people count the leap year and some people don't.
Well, did you know that it has been suggested that there's a possibility that the real calendar is a 13-month calendar?
Correct.
And if you take 13 months, you get 28 days in each month. Mm-hmm. And then that would put a Sabbath on this exact same day every month.
Hello.
And then you'd have one day left over that was designed to be Resurrection Day, the day that we acknowledge Jesus Christ's resurrection.
Right.
So the point that I'm making is that I can talk about just about any subject you want. So we can go there.
We ain't scared. We ain't never scared.
We can talk about the occult music industry and all the symbolism and sacrifices and things that they have to do in order to stay on top, and how demonic and satanic the industry is. We could talk about current events, which I try to stay away from because once it's no longer current, it's no longer relevant. We can talk about the media and how the media is controlling things. We could talk about transhumanism, where they're literally trying to mix iron and clay by merging us with computers and AI and Neuralink. and robots. How Elon Musk's Starlink, the word star in Bible, in the Bible, most of the time when you see the word star, it's actually referring to angels.
Come on.
And so the suggestion is if his system is called Starlink, that he's trying to link us with the fallen angels.
Right.
And then he's got the Neuralink, which means he's trying to link our brain with fallen angels. Does that not sound just like...
Trying to put it up in your head.
Does that not sound just like Daniel mixing of iron and clay in the last kingdom before Christ's return? Sounds like it to me. Mm-hmm. We could talk about the Kabbalah, or Kabbalah, depending on who you're talking to. We could talk about the Talmud and how it's different from the Torah.
That's that's trying to take over. Do you hear me? This cube and all of that, that is
the
trying
black
to take...
cube,
yeah, that
of Saturn, which is Satan.
Y'all know a lot of y'all been doing this. Mm-hmm.
We could talk about a little bit of everything. So you just tell me, I don't care how controversial the topic is. We could talk about abortion, AIDS, COVID. We could talk about transgenderism. We could talk about posthumanism. We could talk about the fact that all media in the whole entire world is owned by just 6 corporations.
That's all.
We could talk about BlackRock, which is the one corporation
buying
that owns more than anything else in the world. It's the biggest corporation in the world. We could talk about Planeteer that is trying to put chips in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm down with all of it, and I'm not shy at all to show you how the word is relating to all of these things that are happening in our life, so that we are not just sleepwalking through our days thinking that just because it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way. It's not, because Jesus himself said that in the end times, there is coming a time where there will be a tribulation on this world that has never been seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Never. It will be unlike anything that has ever been seen on planet Earth. That's one of the reasons why men's hearts are literally, they're going to fall over from heart attacks from fear.
They said their hearts will fail for fear. And do you know what fear we're talking about? We're talking about that scared type of fear. That, like you got, like you jumped, like someone jumped out and you're like, oh, who are you? You know, that type of fear. Things you've never seen before. I don't know if you've been watching this smog and all of this stuff out here, something is going on.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of the things with the chemical composition of the fog as it came down and crystallized, and some of the suggestions of what's in it. I mean, we could talk about everything. Nanotech, AI, smart dust.
Certain places is solid. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that's not supposed to be.
We could talk about mRNA. We could talk about DNA. We could talk about anything and everything you want. Because as believers, it says that we are supposed to be, what did it say? Instant, in season and out of season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my desire as a believer, is that I don't want to be caught unawares. Now, if I don't know something, I'll say, well, let me go find out. But I'm not going to be caught flat-footed when I know what the scripture says. And keep in mind too, you don't have to know all of these things. You don't really have to know any of
it. The Holy Spirit will give you discernment.
The Holy Spirit will give you exactly what you need at any given time.
Right.
And what's interesting is that you don't have to know all of the things that are false and deceptive in the world. All you have to do is zoom in and zone in on what is genuine. What is the genuine doctrine of the scripture? Let me give you an example. If you were to go and work for the U.S. Mint, where they actually print the dollars, and we could talk about that too, how money is not real, and we could talk about crypto, Bitcoin, we could talk about all of that. But if you were to go and work for the U.S. Mint in the counterfeiting department, did you know that most of their time is not even spent looking at counterfeit bills at all?
Nope.
Most of their time is spent with training them on how to recognize a genuine
authenticity
bill.
Authenticity, yes.
A genuine dollar bill or $100 bill, $1,000 bill, $1 million bill, whatever. They spend almost all of their time focusing on what makes a $1 bill a genuine $1 bill. Why do they do that? They do that because they know that the more acquainted you are with what the real thing is, when you are presented with a counterfeit, you automatically know it's a counterfeit because you are so deeply knowledgeable about what a real bill looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's my encouragement to you, friend, is the more you get to know Jesus, the biblical Jesus, and not just what unsaved people want to tell you about who he is and what he's all about, but mm-hmm. the biblical Jesus, you're deeply into the scriptures, you're memorizing your word, you know what the scripture says, you are infusing that word with faith, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to bring it to life to you, to quicken it for you. The more you do those things, the easier it will be for you to spot when something is not lined up with that. And so that's my encouragement. Yes, I know a lot about a lot of things because I'm very well studied, I'm well read, and I'm not a young person anymore. I've been around a little bit longer. So I'm not just some 21-year-old that just opened up social media yesterday and found out about something. I know a few things. But that's just because that's my particular ministry gift as a teacher and as someone who can bring the scriptures and encourage people in the faith. That's my gift. But everyone is not required to know all those things. And sometimes you study some of that stuff, and there are so many competing teachers that are out there that want to appeal to the itching ears, as I mentioned, that you have to be careful not to get led off astray into this thing or that thing. So you really got to hone in on what does the word say? And what is the Holy Spirit illuminating to me about the word, so that when I come across something, you may not even be able to put your finger on why it's wrong, but there'll be something in your spirit that'll be like, something about that ain't right. It sound good, but something ain't right about that. It don't pass the spiritual sniff test, so to speak. And that's where you want to be. You want to know your word so that if possible, you can point it out why it's wrong. But even if you can't point out why it's wrong, you want the Holy Spirit's truth to be so infused inside of you that when you come across something that's got a little bit of lie mixed in with that truth, that you can say, even if I can't put my finger on it, something about that's not right.
Yeah, because anytime you have any type of deception or anything, it's a lie. Even it's either true or not true. It's either yes or it's no. And, yay or nay.
And then to add on top of that, you want to live a life that is, you want to live a repentant lifestyle. And let me give you an example of what I mean. If you're driving at night and you have a bunch of dirt or mud or snow or something on your headlights, you can still drive the car and you can still get to your destination without hitting anything. But if something jumps out in front of you and it's kind of dark and you can't quite make it out, whether it was a dog or a human or a bike or something, because your headlights were not on, you're going to get a ticket and your insurance is going to go up if you hit that thing. And they're not going to care.
You better hope it's not a human, because that's vehicular homicide. Keep it real.
And they're not going to care that your headlights were dirty.
No.
You're going to get the ticket because you were not responsible for the travel that you were on. In the same way, if you are in unrepentant sin, and I'm not talking about we make a mistake, we ask God to forgive us, we change our course. I'm talking about you're in unrepentant sin where you know what you're doing and you're not making any efforts to allow the Holy Spirit to change your course whatsoever. That's the equivalent of covering your windshield and covering your headlights. You're still traveling on this life. You're still traveling on this journey, but you cannot see the obstacles that are in your way clearly because the sin is in the way. Mm-hmm. So this year, as you're going throughout this year, and not even this year, but this day, make it your resolution. If you want to do a New Year's resolution, have your resolution to be that the Holy Spirit will shine the light in your life in all the dark corners and see if there be any particular unrepentant or unrecognized sin that needs to be rooted out, so that you can clearly see what's up ahead, so that you can clearly discern when something is of the Spirit of God and when it's not. The scripture says to test the spirit, to see test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Let me go ahead and pull that up.
The Holy Spirit, you know, David said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, if you have something on your outfit or you eat some food and something drops on it, you want to get to those stains right away, right?
Right.
So that they don't stay in there. You want to wash it out immediately.
That's good, love. Because I know sometimes if I get a stain, I'm like, oh, man, I'll get to it later.
Especially tomato sauce or something like that. You don't get to it right away.
It's in there permanently. Oil. You don't get to it right away.
Yep. A little butter or a little oil or something.
You said butter.
Yeah.
Why put butter on it?
Because.
Oh, you mean if the stain is butter.
I'm talking about, right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. How many of you know how to see my mother? I bless my mom, Rosetta Taylor. She told me, she said, she was a dry cleaner. So her being a dry cleaner, she said, this is how you take care of blood. This is how you take care of beef. This is how, she just taught me how to do it. I just watched her. And that's how I learned. That's how I learned what works and what doesn't work. Did you know if you have blood, you can put, right, Jackie?
Mm-hmm.
Put peroxide and let it soak for, and it'll get through there and those bubbles will get to going and get that blood out.
Yep.
So it's the same thing with your life. You have to understand that there are mishaps, there are blind spots, there are intentional sins, unintentional sins. There's things that we, because the Bible says in many things we offend all. So having said that, we just want to make sure that we ask King Jesus to just purge us, as much as we possibly can, and mean it. Not just saying the words just to say them, but really, really meaning what you say.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So I think that's a good place to round out. Is that First John chapter 4. And I think that's a really good passage for us to round out. This is verses 1-6. And it says, it starts off by saying, beloved, believe not every spirit. Look, don't believe everything. Just because someone sounds convincing when they're saying it, and just because they seem sincere, they can be sincerely wrong.
That so means take out media, y'all.
Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. A lot of false prophets. A lot of people that make things sound real good have gone out into the world. And it's right on your phone that's in your pocket. Every single thing that you see on there, everybody's got an opinion. And if everybody's opinion is equally valid, then no one's opinion is valid. Because there has to, at some point, be an objective standard of truth. And for us as believers, we understand that it is the Most High God as revealed in His Word and revealed through His Son.
Hallelujah.
So it says here, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you know the Spirit of God. It says it right here, 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Here's how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
Yes.
And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, is coming. And even now already
is
in the world.
That's right.
So backing that up in plain English, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Now, that doesn't mean everything a person says is going to be on point, but it means that their baseline is of God. But a New Ager will not tell you that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh.
Sure will not.
That the Messiah that was prophesied by Scripture actually came to earth as an actual human being. He was born of a virgin. He lived a life. He did miracles. He kept all of the law without sin 100%. He died for the sins of all humanity.
Oh, he was a prophet.
He raised again. He raised again from the dead, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He is co-equal with God the Father, and he is coming again. You will not hear a New Ager say that. You won't hear a Muslim say that. You won't hear a Satanist say that. And if they say it, they're going to have some yeast in that dough that comes along with it. You won't hear a secular humanist say that. You will hear New Agers say things that sound real good, like it's the Christ consciousness and Christ is in all of us. And all of us are, you're going to hear stuff like that.
Levels and all this other kind of mess in this area, this in this area, in this area, in this top area. That's one of the most deceptive.
And
yes.
even some of your practices that seem real good on the surface, like some of your Hebrew Israelism, where some of them acknowledge Jesus Christ or Yahushua, and some of them say, no, we don't acknowledge him, because they literally want to take you back into the old covenant. Now, if you want to stay under the old covenant, you'll be judged by it.
You cannot.
And it says that if you've broken even one part of the law, you've broken them all.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how many Sabbaths you keep. If you are not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are just as subject to judgment as any unsaved person.
Correct.
But some of them won't acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he is divine, that he is the Son of God, that he is that he did die and resurrect for our sins. So that's how you know they're not of God.
And you got to be careful also of that new age, because those different types of hand, the way they want you to do your hands and your feet and all of those different types of things, Jackie, those are of idols. Those are of idols.
So it says every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that of Antichrist. And you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and the spirit of Antichrist is even already in the world right now. What is the spirit of Antichrist? The spirit of Antichrist, listen to the root of the word, Antichrist. Anti means to be opposite of Christ. Anti also means to be against Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say I am
an antiperspirant underneath your arms,
that means that I'm trying to do the opposite of perspire.
Correct.
I'm trying to stay dry.
Correct.
And it's also opposing my perspiration.
Correct.
So that's what anti means. So when you hear the word antichrist, yes, the antichrist is going to eventually be a fallen angel that embodies either a human or a computer in order to present an image that everyone in the world will worship.
Mm-hmm.
But the spirit of Antichrist is the mindset of Antichrist. It is the intentions of the Antichrist.
Satan.
It is anything that opposes Christ or is in opposition to Christ or is a counterfeit to Christ. That's what Antichrist spirit means. And the Antichrist spirit is all around us, all around the world.
It's Satan. It's Satanism, believe it or not. If you're against King Jesus, if you're against Yahushua, you are an Antichrist. You are.
But it says here in verse 4, 1 John 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who is them?
Mm-hmm.
Them. We have to go back up to see in the verse, who is them? Well, it says that many false prophets are gone out into the world, and it says you have overcome them. Not in a physical way, but in the spirit. Why? Because you tested the spirit to see whether it was of God, and you vetted it based upon its relationship and its acknowledgement of Jesus Christ.
Now, if you're a little foggy about what you should do or shouldn't do, you know, I encourage you to fast. That means push away from...
You said foggy. We just got done with all this fog.
Yay. But, you know, fasting and praying, but it's not just food. Okay, some people just think that fasting is just food. It's not just food. It could be fast to television. Don't do a television for a whole week. Fast from your phone. Yeah, that's right. I'm not going to use my phone for a whole day. I'm not going to use my phone for a whole week or a whole month. You have to determine as far as what your fast is going to be, because only you know what's been going on in your life. No, I'm not going to do porn. You ever thought about that? No, I'm not going to do porn. That's for anybody that's on that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and eat all this candy. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to cuss. You know, I'm not going to swear. No, I'm not going to spend up all the money at the, I believe it's at the horse races or
the casino.
The casino. Casino. The casino. Yeah. You know, things of that nature. You, maybe you have money if you wouldn't go and, you know, play all the, but that's why you don't have no money. That's why you may not have no money. Bet you if you stop doing a casino for a month, you'll see how much money you still have. But yeah, but I'm just trying to win. You already winning. If you have King Jesus, you're winning.
So continuing on here, it says, picking back up in verse 4, we're only going to verse 6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the spirit of Antichrist, the false prophets that are pushing the spirit of Antichrist. You have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This doesn't mean that you're a God and that God is in you because you're a God. What this means is that you are following the spirit of God rather than the spirit of Antichrist. Don't let unsaved people interpret your Bible for you, because that's a new little theme out there right now where they want to pull that scripture where Jesus says you are God's, or they'll pull this verse, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And they'll use that to say, see, even the Bible says that you are God. You are God. That is not what this says.
No way.
In the least.
And if you look here, I would if I could show you, but a lot of times you can even... They forgot a lot of things, okay? But if you look at the name Jesus, J-E-S-U, it's capital J. If you look at God, it's capital G. That's how you know. But if you look at the scripture that says Satan is the God of this world, it's a small g. That doesn't mean he's the most high God. All right? These are nuances and ways that you can tell who is really being spoken of. Who really is in control? Who you know, you think, oh, well, Satan is the God of this world. They say that. But notice in that scripture, it's a small g. He's the small g of this world. But he's not the most high God, which means that he's not going to win. Satan is not going to win.
So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you are in Christ, if you have accepted Christ by faith through grace, he is in you.
Correct.
And the spirit of God that is in you will give you the ability to test the spirits to see whether or not they are of God.
Mm-hmm.
He will give you the ability to follow Jesus and not follow the Antichrist. And it says in verse 5, they are of the world. They, meaning the false prophets and those that are following the spirit of Antichrist, those that do not confess Jesus as come in the flesh and that he is Lord. Therefore, they speak of the world and the world hears them.
Yeah.
Like their channels get real popular. They go viral real easy. But someone that's really speaking the truth about Jesus, the biblical Jesus, and they're really contending for the faith, their channels don't be big.
Reminds me of Casey with Enter the Stars. This man has had just thousands and thousands of people, but yet when you look, it'll say 666. this is how these algorithms and these things try to set you up. That's how they do it.
And then to round it out, the writer of 1 John says, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. Sounds like we getting shadow banned by the world. They can't hear you.
They can't hear you
if they are not of God.
They may continue to do what they're doing, and guess what? Lift up their eyes and it will be
The Holy Spirit will activate their faith and open their eyes and take the blinders off. But it finishes up here. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that is my encouragement for you at the end of this season 9, episode 1, that you go into this next year that you're going into asking the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and the discernment from the word and from the spirit that you can test the spirits to see whether they are of God, that you can tell the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, and that you will not be led astray, right, or led us or led down a path that is not of God, that sounds good on the surface, but at the end, it's not leading you closer to Christ, but it's taking you far away from him. That's my desire and my encouragement to you and my prayer for you this year, that your eyes will be open to all truth, that you will not be swayed by social media algorithms and behavioral manipulation, right, and media control,
right,
that you will not be swayed by the things of the flesh and of the carnal nature, but you will be led of the Spirit of God, so that you can execute the will of God,
right,
and that he will give you the ability to set aside all of the weights and the sins that can so easily trip us up and fog up our headlights and fog up our windshield and make it harder for us to be able to see what is ahead of us and to avoid obstacles. I just pray that you would ask the Holy Spirit to help you to break any of those sins that have a stranglehold or a stronghold in your life.
Yeah.
And I just pray over you right now that as the Holy Spirit illuminates those things to you and pricks your conscience about that issue that you're facing, that you will take the courage to follow the Holy Spirit and not follow after the flesh when you are next confronted with that issue, in Jesus' name.
I pray right now by the authority of the name of King Jesus, that every fetter be destroyed, be shattered, so they can never be put back together again. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would give you the wisdom, the knowledge, and the strength to understand and to do what it is that's required, no matter what the sacrifice is, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Father, fill them with your love. Father, put your arms around them, comfort them, be there for them. And most of all, I pray that they would tell someone else about the wonderful goodness of King Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for hearing us. And please, we pray that your anointing would stay with us, and that you would cause those who hear, that they would actually not just fall on deaf ears, but fall on ears that will be provoked to goodness and to good works, in Jesus' name, in King Jesus' name.
I agree. So be it.
Yep.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week for the Mind His Business show. Of course, if you enjoyed this show, you can always go back and listen to it again. There's a couple of ways that you can do that. One, go to mindhisbusiness.com. Each week we put the episodes up there, so you can go back and listen to past episodes and get the information, maybe something you missed, or maybe something made you laugh or made you think you want to hear it again. Go to the website. You can hear each episode there. The second way you can do it is to tune in to 100.3 FM Gospel Music,
yes,
Omaha, either on your radio FM dial or on your app on your phone, Gospel Music Omaha, or on the website, gospelmusicomaha.com.
Yes.
And we live stream our morning show Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we take this content, we repurpose it, and we put it right on the air all throughout the week, so you get a chance to hear it again, to really let it sink in down deep. Don't forget, make sure you text us or email us your show topics. What are you interested in talking about? It doesn't matter how controversial. I'll take it all on. So give us a text message to the radio station number 402-819-8941 or gospelmusicomaha@gmail.com. And with that, we're going to sign off for this time. This is Lady J.
And this is Love Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.